From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Welcome back, Silver and Black today. On this Thursday, as we head into the Browns weekend, Raiders out at Cleveland. The Browns, a 3-point favorite. Over-under is 51 points, down from 56. A lot of money coming in on the Raiders, Q.
Yeah, that's not surprising. I think a lot of people expect the Raiders to have a bounce-back performance, and what they've seen from their offense knows that they can really put up some points. The question is, can they stop the other team from scoring?
Yeah, that's the big question. But we'll do our predictions tomorrow and talk about what we think will happen in the game with the score and so on. Give us a call. Get online. We got a guest coming up, 702-365-9200. We want to get your calls on. Tell us what you think of the Cleveland Browns game. And now is the time of the week we go to our good friend Levi Edwards. He's a writer over at reporter over at Raiders.com. Levi, how you doing on this Thursday?
I'm doing pretty good so far.
Yeah.
Take a point.
All right. Well, let's.
He said so far.
So far.
It's about to get bad, man. Buckle up.
We'll take you for a ride. Get ready. Put your seatbelt on. All right. Let's start with a guy we talked about earlier in the show just for a little bit, and that was Henry Ruggs. You know, Coach Gruden talked about him this week because a lot of people are asking why he's not getting more targets. Coach Gruden intimated that, you know, he's got to win some more one-on-one battles, i.e. some of that is on Henry to do better out there. But then there's some folks, you look at the situation, that think maybe is there other ways to get Henry Ruggs involved in the offense. When you look at that and you look at what the Raiders are able to do offensively, Levi, what can they do to get him more involved as he develops his ability to take on those one-on-one matchups?
Honestly, he's just got to continue to put in the work and really just continue to, you know, get in those snaps at wideout. Something that I am just noticing, like, Henry has a lot of speed. Everyone knows he has a lot of speed. But just thinking about just kind of watching him as closely as I did at Alabama is the fact that he was mostly a slot receiver when he was at Alabama. So he was just really, you know, running slants, you know, getting them from Tua, going up, you know, 5-yard slants, and then using his speed to take it to the house, you know, or get big games. So this is, you know, of course he has experience playing wide out in the past, but this is really the most he's played wide out in a couple of years, I would say. So with him being at wide out and Edwards being the other wide out to start the season, with Renfrow playing in the slot, and then now you see Aguilar stepping up for Bryan Edwards, Henry Ruggs is going to have to continue to master playing that wideout position, making sure that he's using his speed to win those one-on-ones, like John Gruden said earlier this week, where it's like they brought him in to win those battles. And, of course, with someone that has 4.27 speed, you're going to put a couple of people on him. You're not going to just keep a safe. You're not just going to keep a corner on him. You're going to put a safety on him. You're going to make sure that you take him out of the game, so you're not letting him use his speed to beat you, like you've seen Tyreek Hill do with every defense in the NFL so far. But when you're Henry Ruggs and you have a one-on-one situation, you have to win those battles. And I totally agree with Gruden. And it's just the matter of the fact that he is a rookie and he is just now starting to get more and more into that wideout position. And with time, it will come a lot more naturally. And so I'm not really worried about it. I definitely think he needs to get more involved in the offense just in terms of, you know, coming up with more plays for him in terms of doing maybe, you know, some more – doing some sweet plays, doing some screens, doing things like that. I feel like that would definitely help. But I'm not worried about Henry Ruggs at all. We've all seen what he can do. Just credit the Bucs defense for just locking him down the way that they did. You know, the game recognizes game, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great JT the Bigger Figure song. Shout out to the Bay.
Oh, yeah.
quick question, sticking with Henry Ruggs. To me, it looks like they obviously are trying to get him involved, but they look like they're trying to get involved all, like, down the field, you know, instead of trying to hit him with the slants and crossing routes and just get the ball in his hands anyway. It looks like they're trying to stretch the field, and sometimes Carr pulls the trigger and sometimes he doesn't.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's one of those things where you drafted this man, you know his bread and butter, and it's like you're trying to give him different bread and different butter. You know what I mean? So, of course, he's a baller. And Henry's going to get his shot deep. Everybody knows that. He's got the speed to beat people, and Carr's going to continue to try to find him downfield, and not only just try to find him downfield, but also just use him as a decoy to get other people involved, like we've seen with Waller and Renfro. But definitely, I am very intrigued to see kind of moving forward what other ways Gruden and Olsen try to get him more involved in that offense in terms of, you know, potentially putting him in the slot on a couple of sets, running some screen routes to him, doing some sweet plays. He's someone that is a very multi-dimensional player. So I definitely see the Raiders realizing, like, look, we drafted this man for these reasons. Like, to quote Gruden himself, we didn't draft this man just to run hitch routes. So I totally see in the future them using him a lot more than they are right now. But once again, he's still a rookie. You know, everybody's treating him as if, like, everybody's being like, oh, why is he not doing all these great things? Like, he had these two games where he just went off, and now everybody's like, oh, okay, well, maybe this kid, you know, is not what we thought he was after just one, you know, not great game. And I just think that's a little jumping the gun a little too hard. People just need to chill out. Kid's a rookie, literally just played college ball a couple of months ago. he'll get it.
Yeah, and it takes time, and even some of the best receivers in the history of the game, hey, you have games, you just get shut out sometimes. Levi Edwards from Raiders.com is our guest. And Levi, of course, all week we've been talking about the defense, right? A lot of people have been focused on that because of the defensive performance against a very good Tampa Bay team, but still just a lack of consistency, as we heard from Paul Gunther today. But Coach Gruden said early in the week, and we heard it again today, which is there's going to be changes. There's going to be some scheme adjustments. There's going to be maybe competition for playing time. Is there any doubt that that's sort of been the message within the team that, look, something's got to change, so we all got to get better, and it's got to happen quickly?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are reading, like, really deep into that statement. I don't care what anyone says. When you're in the NFL, your job's always on the line. There's always going to be competition. It doesn't matter if you're 1-5 or 5-1. The coaches are always going to be making sure they're putting the best players in the best situations at the best times. And that's all John Gruden is doing right now. He's just reevaluating the defense. He realizes that he now has a 3-3 team that has the opportunity to make the playoffs, potentially win the division. You know, might be a little too far-fetched, but they're still in the race. They got that win over the Chiefs. And they have yet to really face the brunt of they haven't had any other divisional games yet. So they are just as good as anyone else at this point going into the race for the AFC West. So they really just have to buckle down and really just figure out what combination of players work to the best of their ability, not only on the defensive line, but in the secondary. And it also doesn't help that they're bogged down by injuries and they're still waiting on Arnett to come back. And injuries have had to make them progress other players a little bit more quickly than they wanted to. So, really, everyone's job is always up on the line, every game, every practice. So, I don't see it as anything out of the ordinary. I would definitely love to see kind of what he can concoct in terms of the defensive line and kind of putting the right players in the right position. Something that I kind of saw that I've liked against the Chiefs and a couple of other games is kind of when they move Crosby and Farrell inside to play those two kind of tackle positions, and then they put Carl on the outside, and then they put Hurst on the outside. Even Jones has succeeded on the outside as well. So I would like to see a little bit more changes in terms of kind of like stunts that they do, in terms of kind of more player combinations, things like that. So I think the defense really, like Max Crosby said, they're just trying to gel right now, and they're 3-3, and they have every opportunity to get to the playoffs. So I'm really excited to see what the defense can do.
Levi, you mentioned that win in Kansas City, and that obviously crossed one of the goals off of Derek Carr's list. Another one's coming up this Sunday, which is obviously winning a game in the cold. You know, he struggled in the cold, and I know that some people say, well, you know, hey, the numbers say he's done okay. Look, he hasn't won in the cold. It's going to be very cold in Cleveland. How big is it for him to go in there on Sunday and have a big-time performance?
It's going to be huge. It's definitely going to be huge for him to have a big-time performance in the cold. I will say that it will depend a lot on his teammates as well. Derek Carr is a quarterback, and he leads that ship. However, he's going to need his offensive linemen to play just as well. He's going to need for Josh Jacobs, who I believe is probably a little bit more acclimated to cold weather, growing up in Oklahoma in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. So he's probably used to some cold nights, right around that Ohio area. So I think that he'll be able to be a bruiser-type back to really – ham it in on that defense. So Derek Carr is really going to have a lot to prove in this cold weather game. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. You can have grown up in New York City your whole life. Growing up, like playing in the cold, playing in the snow, playing in the rain, it still sucks. It's fun. And I've had a lot of games playing football in the rain, and it's been a lot of fun, but it's hard. It's difficult. It doesn't matter if you grew up in it or not. So you really just got to have to dig deep and prove yourself no matter who you are.
Levi Edwards from Raiders.com is our guest. And Levi, we look at this matchup with the Raiders and the Browns. The Browns very strong against the run, but they can be susceptible to the pass. When you look at maybe what the Raiders' offensive game plan will be, and we've heard a lot about the Raiders, and again, they faced a great defense against Tampa Bay on Sunday and were unable to establish the run because of that good defense. They're going to face that again, so that's more even more important. When you look at the game plan, though, how do they attack that Browns defense on offense?
Well, statistically speaking, shameless plug, if you haven't, go check out key matchups on Raiders.com and also check out the pick six, because I address a little bit of what the Browns' defense deficiencies are in terms of their pass coverage. Just statistically speaking, they are in the bottom three when it comes to pass defense, allowing the second most passing yards to any to all offenses they've played. So that is something that they struggle with, and it's no secret about it. If the Raiders want to win this game, they're going to have to worry about one man specifically, and that is number 95. They cannot let number 95 get to the quarterback. They cannot let 95 get into the backfield. He's a game changer, and I've seen that man make plays at Texas A&M. There was no doubt in my mind that he was going to come in the league and wreck stuff up, and he has not disappointed me. And so the Raiders' offensive line is, in my opinion, the best in the league, whether they're banged up or not, and I feel like they've proven that so far. So this is just going to be another opportunity for them to really just hone in on their craft, make sure that they stop that front seven, because the Browns' front seven has gotten results. Myles Garrett has gotten results. They have 18 sacks as a defense, and Myles Garrett accounts for 9 of them. He has half of his team sacks. So you have to stop that man. He can play outside. He can play inside. He can do whatever on that line. 4.6 40 in the combine. He's just a freak of nature. You have to stop him if you're the Raiders.
Yeah, he was a dude in high school. Yeah. Man, going back to the DFW area, he was a dude then. You knew he was going to be special. And look, not only does he have 9 sacks, he's got more sacks alone than the Raiders have as a team.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It is crazy. All right, Levi Edwards, as always, yes, check out Levi's work over on Raiders.com, the pick six, all that stuff does all the time. Great, great writer and great insight for you guys up on Raiders.com. Levi, thanks again, buddy. We will talk to you next Thursday.
I'll see you, Scott. I'll see you, Q.
All right.
All right, brother.
There you go. Levi Edwards, good stuff there.
Great stuff.
Yeah, and it's always good. His stuff on the website, that's why I love it, because he breaks down the defenses and does all that stuff. All right, we're going out on the phones. H in Albuquerque, you're back on with Scott and Q. What's going on, H?
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen? Good to speak with you. Hey, you know, before the season started, if you guys had had the foresight to tell me the Raiders would be 3-3 at this point, and then you asked me who I thought they would have beaten to get to this point, I probably would have said the Panthers, the Patriots, and the Bills. The fact that they beat the Saints and the Chiefs, and they beat them definitively, it wasn't like they got lucky or it was close games, gives me the confidence that this team is a lot better than a weak loss, you know, makes us feel. You know, it's tough when you got to sit there and it's like, oh, what's going to happen now? And to be honest with you, I'm more worried about the weather in Cleveland than I am about Baker Mayfield or the team, for that matter. Levi just said it. There's one guy you got to worry about. And another way to say that is I'm not worried about Baker Mayfield. So, you know, I would call this like a pop quiz. Where's this team now? Now we've got to go in and play a team like the Browns that are probably pretty confident because they're 5-2, despite their lack of quality wins. And so we have a number of underwhelming free agents, mostly. And I don't know if it's coaching that's not utilized them properly or what, but I am still confident these are fine players, Collins, Littleton, that things are going to get figured out. And so, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we're still on course for a 10-6 playoff season.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I would only disagree with the fact that, you know, you say you don't worry about Baker Mayfield. I would worry about him if you can't pressure him. If you can't pressure him, he can throw the ball. I mean, look.
Throw the ball.
I'm not saying
he'll give you an opportunity to make a mistake.
Correct. Yeah, he's not always the best with decision making, to your point, Q. And so having Jonathan Abram back there is a big, big deal. I think Trayvon Mullen has a good day as well. You don't have OBJ out there. He's gone for the season. So one of the guys that I think they would have had trouble with would have been Odell Beckham Jr., but he's not there. So that benefits the Raiders as well. H, always a great call, man. We appreciate it. We're going to step aside for a break. When we come back, we'll roll on with your calls. 702-365-9200. What do the Raiders have to do to beat the Browns in your view, and how are you feeling about the team as they go into their seventh game of 2020? You're listening to the Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio.